This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
You are listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a half hour we have coming up from you, because Wolves, well, everyone said it, didn't they? They was worried. Second season syndrome, you just heard me say it. The European adventure maybe started a little bit too early for them. Competitive games in July, they're more fatigued. No. They are doing very good in the Europa League, going well, winning away to Besiktas, getting those wins. They look good to qualify now, beating Man City at Man City 2-0 and beating their rivals on the weekend. It doesn't get any better for Wolves, and I'm delighted to say it gets better for us on the Wolves Fan Show, because Rye Hooper joins us now from the Wolves Fancast. Rye, so good that you can join us. I'm delighted we've finally got through to you. We had a few problems couple of weeks back. Jordan stepped in last week, but Rye, you're here, and I'm starting to think you pick and choose your shows. What a show to come on, eh? Aston Villa 2-1, thank you and yes please.
I know. You've summarised that well. I mean, things are good, and I was thinking just before going on this evening, where we've done a few of these this season. I remember, I think, after the Reading game earlier in the season, where we'd come off a couple of probably ordinary results and performances in the league. And what you alluded to there was right. You know, there were certainly murmurings, and I was getting asked questions on the podcast and on this show about that second season, the extra games, that we weren't really putting good performances together. I don't want to kind of be like I told you so, but I remember at the time being pretty relaxed about it, because I saw that there was enough there, and I knew that he'd kept the nucleus of a really good side from last season, and that it was perhaps just going to take a little bit of time to hit form. And we have, and you know, we're talking here, you know, at the time of recording, we're eighth, and as you've rightly said, we're pretty much, I would say, on the verge of going through Europa, and we're coming off the back of a derby win and a good run in Europe. So, yeah, you know, the context to it is, it's been a decent season so far, so I don't think there can be too many complaints.
Yeah, unbelievably, right? You're eighth after that, let's say, indifferent start you had. You're 1 point off fifth, and that's Sheffield United. And then we're just talking about Wolves have continued that good form over from last year. It was always going to take them a little while to get back up and running, but they seem to just be the team they were last year, going from strength to strength once again. Obviously, no game on the weekend, the international break, but it doesn't matter, because there's so much to talk about with Wolves at the minute. And before we get into the brilliant victory on the weekend beating rivals Villa, let's take it back to the Europa League, right? Last Thursday, beating Bratislava 1-0 at home. Great to get that win, considering obviously the first game didn't go so well when Wolves played their European opener. But now they're in a position, Ryan, you're looking at it, great chance to qualify.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that Bratislava game, it was a little bit nervy in terms of the performance. And I look at Braga, who we've got up next, when we played those previously at Molineux, where they kind of hit us on the sucker punch, and they were perhaps a little bit more astute in the competition than we were. But we've advanced from that point with a great win away at Besiktas, which I think was massive for the confidence, at Bratislava as well. And yeah, we played the patient games, we got the result, and we're pretty much there or thereabouts. I think one more point will probably do the trick. We've got Braga next away from home. So, yeah, in a really, really good position. I think that's testament to the fact that even from that first game back, whenever it was in July, when we played Crusaders away, he's really kept a pretty balanced side, and it's always been a strong side he's put out. And we're reaping the benefits of it that we're talking now, that we're getting very close to the next stages, and it's getting exciting.
It is, because, you know, in Group K in the Europa League, and you mentioned that one more point will do it, but you've got to love to look at the sight of it, Raya. You know, four games played, but there's a gap to Bratislava. It's a five-point gap with two games to go. And, you know, if you do have a little slip-up, or you have to rely on that home game to Besiktas, and let's be honest, you've already beaten them away, so you'd feel fairly confident you can get a result there, but it just gives you a bit of breathing space, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I think we're in a really good spot there. You know, and it could be that we're in a very fortunate position that we close the group stages, just keeping players fresh and ticking over. But, you know, momentum is everything in football. But I think I'm not surprised, because I think coming into the group, when I looked at the group, I'm no bloody expert on Bratislava, or, you know, I knew bits and pieces, obviously, about Besiktas and the history and Braga. You know, I had to read up in terms of where they were doing. But as a brief overview, with the players that we've got, with the experience that we've got, you know, the likes of Matinho and Neves playing European football, I always felt we had a good chance in this group. And I think that's as it's proven. I think early on in the stages, you know, reference a game against Braga at home where perhaps tactically we're a little bit naive, but we've come through with that with some big wins. So, no, we're looking strong. I thought it was a group that I fancied our chances of advancing, particularly knowing that it's been treated seriously by the club. And once we've started to see the type of teams that we're putting out, then I always fancied our chances. So, yeah, we're in a really good position. I'm really positive about Europe this season, and it's really exciting for us.
Yeah, right. Well, right. What did you mean then when you said take it seriously? You know, Wolves being back in Europe, that was always the case. No, Europa League, this is a brilliant, you know, prestigious tournament. We're playing in Europe, you know. How far can we go? It was always going to be the priority, wasn't it?
Well, I would say so, but I think there's just a little concern that we've seen other sides, for example, sort of West Ham or Southampton in recent years, who perhaps haven't. So I always thought that was the case, and I always thought you've got to respect the competition. As you alluded to, you know, we've not been in Europe competitively since 1981. So, you know, I always felt as if it was the right move to make. The only question marks potentially were the fact that we've got this small squad, which is well talked about, and, you know, what the focus would have been. But no, I think from day sort of one in the competition, where we even thought starting the competition early in May, play the kids effectively, other than the Carabao Cup, he's continued to field strong teams. And I think everybody's got on board with it. So no, for me, I agree. I think I'm thinking from that same hymn sheet in terms of this is a European competition. This is massive for us, but it's not been treated in the same vein by other sides of probably equal standing to us. So that was the only really thing for us. But no, we've shown, I think, respect from the competition, and it's paying off.
Yeah, well, obviously it seems to be paying off, and the British sides are doing well. Celtic and Rangers got a good chance. Arsenal, obviously, Wolves, yourself, Man United look to qualify. But how far can Wolves go then now? Because we know that the third seeded clubs in their groups in the Champions League, the big boys, they're going to drop down. But Wolves, they get through this group, you know, they've got a chance. We go over to knockout football when it's anyone's over two legs, isn't it, Roy?
Yeah, I think we've got a chance. And I think, you know, if you look at us in terms of the sides we've played this year in Europe and domestically, I mean, we've done well against Champions League sides. You know, we beat City away, for example. So, you know, the level of opposition, knowing how strong the Premier League is, I always fancy us about, you know, against, you know, we did well against Arsenal, obviously, recently. United, we've done well against. So I'd fancy us against any of the teams domestically. So knowing how strong the Premier League is, then I wouldn't think we'd have too much fear whoever we play, you know. So, yeah, I think we're in it for hopefully the long run. So I think we can go as far as possible, because I fancy with the guy we've got in charge, the style of play that we have, that tactically we'll have enough to progress as far as possible.
Yeah, right, I completely agree. Either way, we're going to be here to watch that adventure unfold. It's one I'm genuinely excited about for the rest of the season. But it's interesting, right, because you mentioned at the start of the show, and I said about that second season syndrome, the European adventure, and you said there was a little bit of, not I told you so, but people were wondering about Wolves. You know, it was a big workload, and you were saying you were fielding questions. But not only is it great that Wolves are winning games, they're getting the results, they're doing well in the Premier League, but they've answered their own critics there, haven't they? And that's one of the bigger positives they can take from it. Wolves can cope with this European workload.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also, I think what's been a real positive for me, really, watching the team, is the fact that when we've perhaps been a little bit indifferent in form, that Nuno, again, time and time again, as he has done really since he's joined us, has found solutions. And what I mean by that, for example, you know, we've Bolly has been a massive miss for us. He's one of our best players, I think. He's one of the best centre-halves in the Premier League. He's absolutely, you know, fantastic player for us. And we've been without him, for example. We've been without Ryan Bennett. And he's had to adjust things. He's brought Dendonka back into the centre-half position. And he's had to move things around. He's played Neves further, in terms of not as sort of a quarterback role, but further advancing in the team. So he's altered teams in terms of through injuries or suspensions and still managed to be competitive. But it's a crazy league because I think going into the Villa game the weekend, we could have gone down as low as 16th, but then as high as 7th. So it's pretty open in there. But I think we're answering the critics, but I think what was shown is this is a team that knows each other as well. They know the roles very well. The beauty of having this small, tight-knit squad is that people seem to seamlessly fit in and can make adjustments, as they have as done in the example of Bolly being injured, where we haven't really shown that we've missed him, however fantastic he is for us when he's on the pitch.
Yeah, well, it's boding well. We're talking about Wolves and that great run. We was covering the Europa League, right, but we've got to talk about the game with Villa. And obviously, actually, now that it is the international break, maybe it has come at the right time for Wolves because they can recover, you know, they can recharge and go again, obviously, because their season, they've played a lot more games than anyone else. I can't wait to get into the Villa game, and we're going to be talking about it next.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Wolves Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm still joined by Rye Hooper from the Wolves Fancast. And you can join us both. Have your say on the Wolves Fan Show because this is your half an hour. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, Rye, it's the time of the show that I reckon you maybe might enjoy. You might feel a little bit happy about it, a little bit positive. I think so either way, because you beat a rival on the weekend, Aston Villa 2-1. That was good. Even better when they had all the bragging rights after the League Cup. They thought they were the big dogs, but the big dogs are Wolves. They're in Europe, and you sent Aston Villa packing, my friend.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, they might have had the bragging rights to the cup, but to be honest, we did play the ball boys that week. You know, it was half term, so we gave them a bit of a chance. But yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, fantastic, really, really good performance. I think coming into the game, we'd heard the news, I think on the morning that Grealish wasn't going to make it and Heaton as well for them. They were going to be a little bit light in terms of a couple of their key players. But I think going into it, we were positive because of the good form that we were having. And then in terms of the context of the game, I would have still been confident with the level of performance that we put out if they had their first 11, shall we call it, that we would have given them a decent game. So a little bit surprised with Villa. I kind of expected a little bit more from them. But then, yeah, I'll take into account, you know, they had an injury early on to their keeper. So ended up being the third choice, and then their defender went off just before half time. But there were spells in that game that were as good as we've seen this season and pretty much hitting the heights of where we were last year. You know, the likes of Jota coming back into form, Jimenez looking fantastic. We'll probably go into a little bit of detail in terms of the goals and so forth, but there were some real standout performances there. And no, I mean, the Derby wins are fantastic at the moment. in this region. It's just us and Villa, so to kind of be above them and to get one over them in a league game was massive. So it was a great afternoon for us.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned no Grealish, no Heaton, and that will give Wolves, you know, just that little bit before the game, you know, they're there for the taking. They would have had confidence anyway. Wolves were at home, obviously. But to be fair to Aston Villa, and you know, let's give them a quick 5 seconds, right? To be fair to them, they said, look, on the Aston Villa fan show, we weren't even at the office, you know, full credit to Wolves. We just were not there. Dean Smith calling it the worst 45 minutes. But Wolves have got their spring in this step. And one of the reasons for that spring in a step, right, you just mentioned it there, Jimenez. I mean, I can't even say any more words about him. How good is the run he is on at the minute? Absolutely lightning. Could have had more goals. They got chalked off against Southampton, but he is the man in form at the minute. Some of the finishing, absolutely clinical.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, that could have and probably should have had more goals on the weekend and during the course of the season, but he's phenomenal. I was just referencing earlier in terms of Jimenez, I think where we looked at him this season, we thought, can he hit the heights of last year? You know, it wasn't just about, I guess, the team as a whole second season. It was also Jimenez, for example, his second season in the Premier League. Is it going to be as effective? Well, probably more so. He's really been on fire. I think what has helped for us, he's played a lot of football, so he's had a little bit of an enforced absence from the Mexican team, although I believe he's back this weekend coming, which has helped. But he's been fresh, he's been sharp, and I think also whilst people might think we were at disadvantage of starting early, for players like Jimenez, they just feel like they're just warming up now, and he looks so sharp, so effective. I mean, some of his goals have been come from penalties, but his all-round play has been really top-notch. I mean, I think in terms of last season, Jota probably finished better out of the two, but Jimenez has been really the go-to today, and there's not many forwards in the Premier League at the moment that I would trade you for Jimenez, because he always looks likely to get a goal, as he did the weekend.
Yeah, always looking likely to get a goal. And Wolves have so much flair, so much, you know, creative weapons. You just mentioned him there, Matinho, Neves, Traore, who was absolutely brilliant on the weekend. We have to talk about him. And Jota, you mentioned it there, right? But I still feel like Jimenez is the heartbeat of the team. Everything goes through him, you know. He's just a wonder to watch, and I'm not even a Wolves fan, but from afar, I just absolutely love watching him. You know, you must be pinching yourselves that you have a player of this quality playing for you.
Yeah, and the honest answer to that is, when he signed, there was a bit of a lukewarm reaction, because his scoring record didn't really stand out as being massive in terms of his record previously in Portugal, for example. And, you know, there are other players who perhaps come on board with a little bit more of a fanfare than Jimenez, but he's been class. He's been absolute class. So, no, he's a real joy to watch. I mean, as we're having a discussion on the podcast, which we recorded this week, about number nines at Wolves. And it's like every club, the support, you know, number nine is always key. I know they have these crazy squad numbers now, but as traditionalists, you know, you'll know yourself, you know, your number nines, you look through history, and there's always there's something about special about that, and for him wearing that number nine shirt, yeah, I guess for this generation, he's been the best number nine we've had at this club. I mean, you know, you've got to go back to Steve Ball days to think of a sort of a cult hero wearing that shirt. So that is, although he's only in his second season, that's what he's got the makings of in terms of that effect he's having. He's leading the line, he's leading by an example. The fans have taken to him, and he's a real joy to watch. And he's pretty much the first name on the team sheet for us at the moment. So he's a great number nine, and he's someone we're very lucky to have, and we're just enjoying having him in the side.
Yeah, one of the first names on the team sheet, that's for sure. One of the names that may just be behind him, though, Adama Traore, man of the match performance on the weekend, right? Absolutely powerful. So watch him burst down the sidelines, creating the chances, you know, just an absolute workhorse. Beautiful, brutal performance on the weekend. But what impressed me, you know, just as much as that performance, right? Hearing him speak after the game, and he said, you know, it doesn't matter, on the wing, in the middle of the park, at the back, up front, I play wherever the manager needs me to play. I'll do whatever the manager needs me to do for this team, and I've still got so much to work on and improve. And you can't ask for more as a fan, can you? You know, not getting above his station and still wanting to work on his game.
Yeah, I mean, he's keeping it humble, but I think that mantra comes from the gaffer. I think Nuno puts that into the players, and the players are hungry because of it. So, you know, Traore's not always had it his own way since he's been here. He's been in and out of the side at times. But I think we talk about this small squad, and I don't want to overstate it or labour the point, but I think it's important and pertinent to say, because he's always still been involved. So even if he's not been in the starting 11, this is a guy who's always felt part of the plans. So he's kept his hunger, he's kept his appetite, and he's given him a run of games. And what's impressed me as well is, even defensively, he's looked fantastic. I mean, I look at that performance at City where he could play the first half marking Sterling out of the game and then go and get two goals. And then the Villa game the weekend where he just kind of dropped his shoulder, and he's got that strength, he's got that pace. And what's crazy is what's been labelled at him for some time is he's got no end product. And I think people have seen that actually he has. You know, you look at his conversion, you look at his assists this season, he's got what's about 11. He's delivering on goals, and he's just, he's one of those sort of players that just gets you off your feet, isn't he, as a fan? Because you know when he's got the ball, there's an anticipation, there's a feel, there's a sound in the air that something special is going to happen. And those are the players that people want to pay their money and watch, because he gets people off their feet.
Yeah, he definitely does get people off their feet. We can't talk about the Aston Villa game, right, and not talk about the brilliant Neves goal. You know, what a finish that was as well to start things off.
Yeah, I mean, it was just typical Neves. It's crazy to think now that, as you know, if you do your homework on Neves around the box, how the hell they didn't think that might come back to him, because that is the last person as an opposition side you want to see that ball fall to.
He's got 11 goals outside the box, right?
I know. It's crazy. I think he's only got a couple inside the box.
He's got 14 goals for Wolves. Yeah, he's got 14 goals. 11 of them are outside the box.
Yeah, it is absolutely class. I mean, to be honest, he's been in and out of form himself, but I referenced it earlier, Nuno slightly changed his position, so he's playing more of an advanced role, and he was excellent. I mean, the goal was terrific. It was tremendous, and you just knew when it was going to fall to him, it was going in. But then also, conversely, if you look at the second goal, he was the one that won the tackle to start the play to release Adama. So when Neves is on fire, then he's again, I sound like a broken record here with these superlatives to these players, but you know, we're talking three players there, aren't we, who really are exciting to watch. And when they're enjoying their football, and I think that's key, you can tell that they are, then it's transferring to performances and results as well.
Superlatives for the players, but for the team as well, right? Because, you know, you said, we both said, the questions have been answered over the form, the indifferent start, but Wolves' home form, I mean, I think it's, you've only lost one out of the last 14 Premier League games at home, and if that's going to continue, you know, you only play 18 at home games, I mean, this is terrific form, isn't it?
It is, and what's interesting, really, we're kind of a counter-attack side, so we're very good away from home because we like people to have the ball. We're quite comfortable with it. There's a plan to it. But you counter that with sort of the attacking flair that we've got, then, yeah, we look very good at home. You know, Nuno sort of built the pack mentality, as he calls it, and I think the players like playing at home. They like the freedom. They're not playing with a lot of pressure, and they're enjoying their football. So yeah, we're in a good place. It's, as I talked, you know, football's a fickle business and things can change on its head very quickly. But right now, I think it's a very good time to be a Wolves fan.
It is a very good time to be a Wolves fan. It's a very good time to do the Wolves fan show. I love it every week. Right, always a pleasure doing it with you as well. Rye Hooper from the Wolves Fancast there. And you can be a part of the Wolves fan show every Wednesday, 10 to 10.30. Your team, your voice right here on Love Sport Radio. Up next, though, is Celtic and Rangers.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
time.